Are you fucking kidding me? Holy shit. 10 minutes. They're 10 minutes over. And they're playing a fucking song. They're 10 fucking minutes over. And they're playing a song. Like I ain't got shit to do. Like I'm just sitting here with my dick in my hands. Listen to these cocksuckers play a song. They're 10 minutes into our fucking time sitting there playing a goddamn song, Napier.
It's a great song.
It's not a great song. That's only like 8 verses.
Yeah.
Oh, no hurry, guys. Just keep going. Fuck it. Let's do some more show.
Mike, you don't appreciate art.
Are you fucking kidding me? I know those are our friends. I know those are our friends. But motherfucker, are you kidding me? Jesus fucking Christ.
It's 8 o'clock. Wheelbarrow full of dicks begins right fucking now.
I'm dating a girl, and we're doing this thing right now. You ever done this? We're making lists of celebrities that it's okay for us to have sex with if the opportunity arises. It's clearly a very healthy relationship. I haven't finished my list yet because I've been too busy trying to get her sister and her best friend record deals. And also, I'm producing a movie starring a girl I saw at the bank this morning. She's like, I'm not even an actress. I'm like, shut up, you're going to be a star.
Wheelbarrow full of dicks, where the conversation will make your mother sick. One couch and alcohol with three fat guys. We say mean and crazy things, and one of us is high. Wheelbarrow full of...
Well, Napier, are you ready to do a show, buddy?
Wheelbarrow.
I like this version of Mike. This version of Mike has spirit and energy. And
oh boy.
We've been getting away with,
you know what? Drunk isn't here yet. Drunk's late.
Monday. No, Drunk would put, Drunk would put all this right in perspective.
Oh.
Great mood. Because you're in a bad mood.
Oh, you love that, huh?
Whenever you're in a good mood, nothing funny comes out of you. The only way to get you to get any feeling, get you activated, get you on your game, is to just piss you off beyond all reason and have all the blood veins in your eyeball just shoot out blood.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks, truncated version. I am Mike. I am joined by my co-host Napier and via Skype, Travis Hulls.
Okay, we gotta move it along. We don't have as much time as we usually do.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's get to it. So Napier got married today. And
what?
Yeah, so we have a guest later on, scheduled at 8:30 this evening. He's going to call in. We're going to talk to him about his program. But Napier got married today. And so I had this, 30 minutes of gold where I was going to tell everyone all about Napier's wedding. I mean, that's good content. That's a great time.
And Mike, can we get the bullet points of that at least? I'd like.
Oh, yeah, let's just run through the bullet points. Let's not do the whole thing because we got to rush to get to our guest. Because the show before us had to play a song for 8 minutes. Well, we sat here with our dicks in our hands.
It was a good song.
It wasn't a good song.
I liked it. I liked the song.
You know, so, I mean, let's just rush through this. Let's just get... So Napier got married. It was great. It was at a park.
Yeah, we had a, it was a dog park.
All right, we're going to break. Thanks for tuning in. Hear all the great stuff that we got to talk about.
The river actually.
I hope you like that
day.
Song that the what was that show called before us? The Lonely Ladies Drinking Wine show.
It was. I liked their show.
Oh, you liked it? It was great, wasn't it?
It was fun.
You know what part I liked?
What?
The 8 minutes after their show was over, when they kept it going and played a song.
It was a theme show. They had
oh,
a theme.
Oh, yeah. Theme shows are great. You remember that time we did a theme show?
It was horrible.
Yeah, no, but they pulled it off.
Well, they're professionals.
It was great.
They're professionals.
So you want to talk about Napier's wedding, guys? We might have to come back to it. I might have to do like a to be continued, and then we'll just do it like later on after we talk to our guest.
Well, we don't really have any like, you know, teasers or stingers in the show. We need
so no, I'll get to a certain point, and then when we get to time to take a break, we'll take a break, and I'll just say, "All right, guys, hold that thought. We'll get back to it."
Well, at least I get to my cigarettes quicker.
So today was the big day. Napier's wedding. And Napier, thank you for coming to the podcast later on in the evening after your wedding.
It was awesome.
That is the honeymoon?
This is the honeymoon. Yeah, this is it. We're gonna hang out with Mike while he yells in the dark. But anyway.
You guys are in the dark?
Oh, yeah. There's no sun out.
Yeah, it's getting darker.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You see, when Mike gets angry, the sun runs away.
So we thought the wedding started at 10 o'clock and we were wrong. Apparently it was 10:30.
Yes.
And that's my fault, but we're running a little late for 10 o'clock, which was when we thought the wedding started. And so we're hustling along, and I had talked to your mom earlier on this week, and she said we needed to bring cameras because there wasn't going to be a photographer there, and if we wanted to document this experience, we needed to bring cameras. So Laura brought her camera, and she was like, okay, I'm going to take pictures because it's a wedding. You take pictures at weddings.
Me and the lady wife, we did not actually bring cameras.
You had people taking pictures there. So
you're a little busy. You're like getting married. Why would you bring
cameras?
Well,
that was only like 5 minutes.
What are you going to do? You're going to stand there and take pictures of each other, take selfies while you're getting married? No.
Yeah,
you're not a selfie kind of guy, Napier.
I do.
Known you a long
time.
Have you ever in your life taken a selfie? Have you taken one selfie in your entire life?
Yes. When I was little, I took a selfie with me and my pet duck.
So we're running a bit late. We're driving down the road. We're trying to find the place. Laura's trying to futz with her camera, realizes that the batteries are dead on her camera. She's like, God damn it, the fucking batteries are dead on this camera. Why didn't we test this out yesterday? She's flipping the fuck out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stop at a Philips 66 to get batteries. Let me tell you, don't buy batteries at Philips 66. Got
$9 for 2?
Duracell batteries, $8.
Ooh.
For 4 goddamn Duracell batteries.
Were they expired batteries too?
No, I don't know. Do batteries expire?
Yeah, they do.
Well, we didn't really get to test them. I'll get to that in a little bit. way later, after our guest. I'll get to why the batteries... Okay, anyway. And I've calmed down a little bit. I apologize for overreacting. They were having a good time.
You shouldn't apologize for your own feelings, Mike.
And they lost track of time. Like
safe place.
Well, like
you,
when
Mike.
Mandy said we're out of time and Jay said, oh no, we got lots of time. Yeah, I mean, he was wrong, but maybe he didn't notice, right? And then he played a 6 minute song after they went 5 minutes over, right? I mean, that's fine, right?
That's how you go out.
It's
I mean,
internet radio. It's
an
not
outro.
Even, it's just, I mean, like, we don't have to abide by any kind of time limits or anything. We're just having fun, right?
Well, it's not like we have advertisers.
Where was I in my story? We get to the park, right? The dog park.
Yes.
10 o'clock. It's about 9:50 or so. We're trying to find this place. We're freaking out. We can't find it.
Our directions were not clear.
Laura is so worried that we're going to be late to this wedding. It starts at 10 o'clock. You can't pull up to a goddamn wedding at 10 o'clock. If it starts at 10 o'clock, you got to get there a little early. We're driving around, can't find it.
We drive past a couple of pavilions, nobody there. We drive past a little track where people walk their dogs in circles,
mm-hmm.
and nobody was there. We get a little bit farther, there's a goddamn recycle place. We're like, well, it's not at the recycle place. We must have gone way too far. Turn around, circle back. We get back to the front, and we see Napier and Amanda getting out of their car and walking towards a pavilion. Now, Laura and I dressed to go to a wedding.
I did not tell you to do that.
You didn't tell me not to do that.
I told you it was supposed to be casual.
Okay, we'll get to that in a few minutes. I wore like a nice pair of pants and a dress shirt and a tie, and Laura wore a dress. We dressed for a wedding because that's what you dress for when you go to weddings, right?
Yes, normally.
So I pull up, and Napier's wearing essentially what he always wears. He's wearing a black polo shirt and khakis, like what he wears to work. I was impressed that you didn't wear your black polo shirt with the cigarette burn in it.
I was actually debating it because it is my favorite shirt.
That's your favorite shirt. And Amanda was wearing jeans and like a black tank top. And I was like, oh, this is a different kind of wedding I see.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get out of the car. It's 9:58. We thought the wedding started at 10 o'clock and we were the first people there beside the bride and the groom. And I get out of the car and Napier says to me, Mike, will you go with me to get the food? And I say, sure. So Napier gets in my car. We drive to Church's Chicken.
Lee's Chicken.
Lee's Chicken. I apologize. Lee's Chicken. Because fuck those non-classy bastards at Church's.
No, they have no idea how to run a chicken franchise.
And we pull up in the parking lot at like 10:15, and Napier says, we might have to wait a while because they don't open until 10:30.
They let me in anyway.
But they did. They let you in early.
And gave me my
Because
chicken.
You're a VIP. You called ahead.
Yes.
And that's impressive. I'm super impressed that you called ahead and didn't just show up at Lee's Chicken and said, I need a wedding party full of chicken.
A bunch of other places, they would have like brought the food to us. And we just would have said, okay, we'll be here at this time. Lee says, no, we won't do that. But we're going to charge you half of what everybody else does. So
we get back with the chicken. It's about 10:30-ish, and everybody's gotten there. The party's in full effect. And when we pull into the parking lot, the first people that I notice are all wearing jeans and T-shirts. Like, the first fella I saw was wearing a Wrath of the Titans T-shirt.
No, Attack on Titan.
Oh, I apologize. Attack on Titan T-shirt. And I think to myself, oh, I think that we must have missed a memo here somewhere. Now, Travis, as a man...
Yes, sir?
And I'll go further into this later. As a man, you're invited to your friend's wedding. Even if he says... It's a casual affair. Like, what's the first thing that comes to mind that you would wear to this wedding? I mean, you're going to a wedding, Travis.
I'd probably wear
either khakis and like a button up, or like at least very, very dark newer jeans.
Something with a goddamn collar on it, right? You're an adult.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a collar.
You did. You were the groom.
The person who was ministering it did not.
The person, so I'm sitting there, I'm talking to Napier's sister. By the way, Napier's sister, a goddamn delight. I wish that I was better friends with Napier's sister, because she's just a hoot. And I'm sitting there, I'm talking to her, I look over, and I see a guy wearing a goddamn tuxedo T-shirt, Travis.
What?
He was wearing a goddamn tuxedo T-shirt, Travis.
Is it like a buddy of Napier's?
No. So I said to Laura, and I said to Cassie, Napier's sister, I said, holy shit, look over there. There's a guy wearing a goddamn tuxedo T-shirt. And Napier overhears me, and you know what he says?
It's that buddy of mine. He's a jokester.
Oh, that's the minister. The goddamn minister. And let me try to... Now, Laura didn't agree with this assessment, but I'll try to describe this fella. He looks like a very poor man's long-bearded Jason Segel. He was a big fella in a tuxedo T-shirt. And later on, he went out to his car to get his baseball hat, and he was wearing a Bass Slut Productions
yes.
baseball cap just after marrying people. So the ceremony
T-shirt guy was?
Yeah, tuxedo T-shirt guy.
He didn't do it during the ceremony.
A goddamn tuxedo T-shirt. Now, your friend's getting married, Travis. He bestows the honor upon you to be the man who marries him and his wife. He gives the speech. He does the whole thing. What do you wear to that?
Obviously,
if you're officiating the wedding, you should probably have a shirt and tie.
Put on a like a fucking tie, man.
He had a tie on. It was just painted on. I mean, he stuck with the theme of a wedding. It's not like he came in there like with overalls and like a hunter camo vest thing on. He came with a proper T-shirt.
Wrath of the Titans guy.
Yeah.
Or no, what was it?
Attack on Titan guy
came over to me and asked me if I'm Mike from WFOD. That's your friend that you make listen to the podcast in
yes.
the car? Yeah, I met him. So I talked to my fans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they came up.
Did you sign anything?
Both of them.
Yeah, it was one of those moments, you know. And I mean, like, what he didn't realize was, I mean, like, you know, he said that he enjoys our show, and I appreciate it. But I'm just like everybody else, you know. I don't need special treatment. I don't need to be that guy, right?
You probably just should have called him a liar right there.
Did you charge him for your autograph?
Don't put me on a pedestal. I'm just a regular guy like you.
Technically, he can't be a fan of our show because I force him to listen to it.
So we're going on break now.
Yay.
We're going to have a guest calling in a few minutes. I guess we'll pick up our story where we left off later. So thanks for sticking with us.
Well, they haven't been around long.
That's true.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Do what's supposed to be an exciting advertisement for Squarehead Kids.
Oh, of course we're playing a Squarehead
Friday
Kids
night.
Promo. Of course we are.
World's most extreme
I love you, Jay.
Food and Wine podcast can be heard exclusively on RadioFubar.com. Prepare yourselves for the Squarehead Kids.
Settle down. You're out of control.
And then he closed the curtains.
I wish you guys would just shut up and let me speak.
Bitches. Ain't no good at choo-choo over here.
Bitches. You're going to jack off onto the toast and you're going to eat it.
Bitches.
I'm an artist too, so fuck you, little boy.
Bitches.
Download past episodes at squareheadkids.com.
Saturday morning, jumped out of bed and put on my best suit. Got in my car, raced like a jet all the way to you. Knocked on your door with a heart in my hand to ask a question, cause I know you're an old-fashioned man. Can I have your daughter for the rest of my life? Say yes, cause I need to know. You say I'll never get your blessing till the day I die. Tough luck, my friend, but the answer's no. Why you gotta be so rude? Don't you know I'm human too? Why you gotta be so rude? I'm gonna marry her anyway. Marry that girl, marry her anyway. Marry that girl, yeah, no matter what. Marry that girl, and we'll be a family. Why you gotta be so rude? Rude. I hate to do this, you leave me no choice. I can't live without her. Love me or hate me, we will be both. Standing at the altar, or we will run away to another galaxy. You know she's in love with me. She will go anywhere I go. Can I have your daughter for the rest of my life? Say yes, cause I need to know. You'll say you'll never get your blessing until the day I die. Tough luck, my friend, cause the answer's still no. You gotta be so rude. Don't you know I'm human too? Why you gotta be so rude? I'm gonna marry her anyway. Marry that girl. Marry her anyway. Marry that girl, no matter what you say. Marry that girl and we'll be a family. Why you gotta be so rude?
Have sex with a woman, the very first thing I'm going to do is ask her father's permission.
Can I have your daughter for the rest of my life? Say yes, cause I need to know. You'll say I'll never get your blessing until the day I die. Tough luck, my friend, but no still means no. That never works on me. Don't you know I'm human too? Why you gotta be so rude? I'm gonna marry her anyway. Marry that girl. Marry her anyway. Marry that girl, no matter what you say. Marry that girl, and we'll be a family. Why you gotta be so rude? Why you gotta be so rude? Why you gotta be so rude?
You know what? Maybe the dude's rude because he doesn't want some stinky fucking hippie fucking his daughter's vag. That's one thing I would be rude about. Like, no, I think you got a smelly dick. You don't get to go near my daughter's who's hole, fucker.
Forgot to turn off. Our guest tonight promoting his last exit to Brooklyn podcast as well as his documentary film, This Is Comedy, which you can check out yourself by visiting our handy little shortcut at tinyurl.com/TomCom. Get it, TomCom. That's good, right?
Like Tom, like Tom Comedy.
TomCom. It just came to me. I'm so goddamn clever. Comedian
Tom
McCaffrey.
Did it take you a while to come up with that?
No. It came to me like a goddamn bolt of lightning, Travis. tinyurl.com/TomCom.
I came up with that.
Mr. McCaffrey, I have a question for you.
What's up?
You're going to a wedding, right?
I'm going to a wedding in a couple of weeks.
Your friend tells you this is casual. What do you wear to the wedding? He said it's casual. What do you wear?
Wait, is it my friend? Is it my friend or is it my girlfriend?
This is a friend of yours. He invites you to a wedding. He tells you the wedding is casual.
What I wear is I wear khakis and a blazer and a white shirt and a tie and shoes.
Right. There. I mean, you're not going to wear a tux. It's casual.
No, I'm not going to wear a fucking tux. I went to this show with my girlfriend now, and fucking that she may wear a suit, and everyone was wearing khakis and a blazer and a tie. And I look like a dick.
How did you feel, though, is more important.
I felt fine, but afterwards I felt like a dick. She made me feel like a dick. I mean, do you have a girlfriend?
I am married. Mike has a...
I have a fiancé. Napier actually just got married today.
Well, dude, I mean, you know how women are, man. They make you feel like shit about things that you wouldn't feel like shit about. I felt like shit about it. This was just my girlfriend, and I was just like, oh, I feel really bad that I wore a suit. Apparently, I wasn't allowed to wear a suit to this thing.
Did you tell her at the next thing that you went to that she had to dress down and, like, wear a bikini to a formal function?
No, because women, man, they can do whatever they want. You know what I mean? I can't get away with doing that. I can't be like, hey, I didn't like what you wore at that. You need to just wear this.
No, I just do exactly what I'm told. Like, I have a button-down shirt with tacos on it, and I have a white pair of tight P-Diddy pants, and that's what I was originally going to wear to Napier's wedding. But then I came around the corner, and Laura said, no, you will not wear that. And I just, I listened. And,
well, I mean, I never thought I'd be that guy, but I've kind of turned into that guy. Well, I'm like, I'm just going to be wear whatever you tell me to wear. She's kind of telling me what I need to fucking wear. And it's shitty, but that's how it goes. Like, I'm
so you got, and you guys have mommy girlfriends then?
No, Travis.
I mean,
I don't
want to think that, but I mean, I've dated girls before, and they were like horror girlfriends, so I'd rather have a mommy girlfriend than a horror girlfriend. Because I've had other girlfriends who were like mommy girlfriends, and what happens is all my friends text me about them fucking her, and I'm like, oh. So like you're just a whore. Like, all right, well, I'd rather have a girl that's just like really concerned about how I look.
I guess in the long run, that's probably a better bet.
I mean, I guess as you get older, like, you know, that's kind of the only choice you really have. Either there's a girl you're dating that everyone's trying to fuck, or there's a girl you're dating that's trying to make you look better. So, I took this to a weird place. I'm sorry. So, if you ever have that thought when you're dating a girl, and then, like, it's really, really awkward when you pick up with her because everyone is trying to fuck them. Because they're friends with everyone you know. So, it's like,
if they're trying to fuck them, it's not so bad. But if the woman actually says, yeah, sure, and then actually fucks them, that's the problem, I think.
That's where you run into the problem.
Yeah, you know, the whole thing where, you know, if a fella looks at your gal or something and you get mad about that, I don't get that. Because, I mean, you would want a gal that people would find desirable, right? If you have a gal that absolutely no one is ever looking at, then you have a problem.
Well, then you're always in your head wondering why you're with him.
Yeah, you ask questions. I mean, you want something that other people want. So that you can look down at them and say...
But it gets to be a problem. I mean, it's just, it's like, where do you draw the line? It becomes a problem. Women cause problems. That's basically what it comes out to. Women cause problems.
I think that's most of the problems I've had in my life were based from that area.
Yeah, there's men and there's women, and then there's women that cause problems, and then there's songs about that, and then that's it.
You know what? I've never really been mad at somebody, like, for looking at my car and say, you know what? I want that kind of car, and then proceeds to, like, I fuck it every time I drive by his house. But for some reason,
at a certain point, do you start getting suspicious that they are looking at your car a little too much? Like, hey, buddy.
Are you casing this thing?
Oh, I check the exhaust pipe every night for fluids.
that's when it gets to be a problem. Yeah.
When you have to check the exhaust pipe for fluids in your girlfriend?
I mean, if you have to check the exhaust pipe every fucking night.
Well, he didn't come here to talk to us about fucking exhaust tailpipes pipe. Of cars. He wants to advertise his movie.
So, no, I have a movie that's coming out.
Right. It's called This Is Comedy, and I watched the videos of it, and it kind of makes me think, and this seems to be like a common thing that seems to be getting out there a lot. And are all comedians miserable? Are you guys all just like really unhappy?
I don't know if every comedian is miserable, but I think that definitely has to be an aspect a little bit. The comedians, there's definitely an aspect of it because there's some heavy shit going on.
Like your Batman origin story, like it's based out of misery and you rise to greatness.
I would say so. I don't think you become a comedian because you're like, wow, everything's going really great. Let me just fucking keep writing some jokes about how great this is going. Like, some shit has gone wrong.
So, Tom, would you say that you're exactly like Batman then?
I would say that I am Batman.
But I mean, is it the road? Is it like not being able to maintain relationships because you're not home very often? What?
Well, I would say the reason I did this and wrote this movie was because it was just like my personal experience is that it's a very like, not even just the road. I mean, I've done the road and all that stuff, but just a rough experience. Like things, a lot of things are thrown at you and it's really tough. And I wanted to show a lot of people what comedians have to go through, but in a funny way, instead of like, it's very depressing and it's hard, but showing it in a funny way, like Spinal Tap, the movie Spinal Tap is like showing them going through what they're going through, and it's horrible, but it's in like a comedic way. Like I've never seen that done in stand-up. I've seen stand-up documentaries, but they're not funny. They're like, everything's really horrible. And you're like, oh, I
want to
show this, but it's horrible, but it's funny,
because
it's stand-up. It's supposed to be
kind of
funny.
So
know?
It's like the stand-up
equivalent of The Wrestler.
Yes,
exactly.
I saw it.
But it's not funny at all.
It's done in a documentary style, though, narrative, right? Like, it's not necessarily a mockumentary, because the interviews that you do with other comedians are completely legit, right?
Well, the interviews are completely real and legit, and we have a lot of stuff of, like, Jeanine Garofalo being completely real and frank about her own career that I don't think you've ever seen Jeanine Garofalo ever be that way in an interview. She's very, like, frank about her career kind of, like, not being what she wants it to be anymore, and it's kind of falling apart. And that is kind of mirroring what I'm going through in the film. Like, it's supposed to be showing the mockumentary part. Like, I'm trying to, like, get ready to record my album, a new album, and things are going really badly. Things, you know, it's just kind of reenacting bad things in my own career, like, that have happened. And I don't know if that's, like, The Wrestler, but, yeah, I mean, like, you know, they're supposed to look like it's a film crew following me around and bad things are happening. And instead of it being, I mean, it's upsetting, of course, but it's also really funny because, you know, really upsetting things can be really funny.
The trailer is very funny. And I saw, mentioning the interviews, like you have a bunch of comedians on there and they couldn't be any more different. You have like Kurt Metzger, who's like the borderline offensive guy. You have, like, Jim Gaffigan, who's, like, everybody's favorite dad comedian. And then, like you said, you have Jeanine Garofalo, who's, like, the self-deprecating, liberal, like, semi-feminist comedian. Like, did you do that on purpose? Did you grab people that were so different to showcase?
I sort of just grabbed everyone that agreed to do it. Jeanine Garofalo agreed to do it. Margaret Cho agreed to do it. Aisha Tyler agreed to do it. Kurt Metzger, Gaffigan. I know these guys, and they're really cool enough to do it. And I just kind of wanted to get a broad spectrum of people's experiences doing stand-up and how hard it is. And then I kind of put that in with my own experience of how hard stand-up was for me. And, like, you know, like, they would talk about how hard it was, and then it would show, like, a mockumentary situation of me going through that. But, yeah, like, Michael Che is in there. You know, he was really cool enough to do it, and he's really coming up now. And Ari Shaffir is in there, you know, and he's really popular now. Just, you know, a lot of people I knew coming up from stand-up who were friends of mine. I kind of got all my friends to do it, basically, and they're really nice enough to do it.
Sure. Well, and you talk about, too, like, trying to showcase your experiences, too, through the mockumentary. But you started stand-up, what, like, 15 years ago? Did you grow up?
12 years ago, yeah.
About 12 years ago? So did you grow up with comedy, or did you, what pushed you to do comedy for a living?
I don't know. That's a good question. I grew up in Manhattan, and I was always really funny, and I wanted to be, I went to Performing Arts High School, which is, like, the same high school, and, I wanted to be an actor, but then people were like, oh, you should be a comedian, you're really funny, and I was like, all right, and I tried it, and then I was like, all right, I'll do this. I never was one of those people that was, like, really young and was like, I'm going to be a comedian when I grow up. I was just like, I just sort of fell into it. And,
so you wanted to be an actor, and people urged you to be a stand-up comedian instead?
Basically, I wanted to be an actor. People were like, you should be a comedian, and you should, like, that'll help you in your acting. And I was like, all right. And then...
Did it?
So what was your first experience like then? If they told you to go be a stand-up, like, what was your first set? How did that go?
All of the people that urged him to do it showed up, and they all...
I did a stand in Dallas, Texas, when I went to college. I was in college. I was, like, a junior in college, and I did an open mic, and it was... terrifying and horrible, and I remember doing it and being like, I never want to ever do that ever again.
And so then why did you do it again?
Because years later, people were like, you should do it again. And I was like, all right. And I did it again. I don't know. I feel like stand-up is a very thing that when you do it, especially at first, you're kind of like, why am I doing this? This is crazy.
Kind of like doing a podcast.
Do this?
So you is... It was like do you have the same girlfriend that tells you how to dress? You like that she told you that you should do stand up again, so you're like, all right, honey.
No, I didn't have a girlfriend. I just people are like, you should do it. I was like, yeah, all right. And then I just did it. And then I mean, once you can't get them, I think stand up's just a thing that like once you've done it a few times, it's terrifying the first like 5 times. And once you do it about 5 times, it's just like, that's it. It's not that scary anymore. It's like, all right, well, that was kind of scary. And then you're like, well, I guess I'll just keep doing that. Like, it's not... like.
So it's a lot like sex.
It's a lot like sex. Well, no, come on.
Exactly like sex, Napier.
Well, no, I mean, like, sex is like... when you first few times, you're like, wow, this is crazy. Why would anyone do this? And then once you've done it about 5 times, you're like, ah, well, even if it went that bad, it's not that bad. Yeah, it is like sex. You're like, even if it went that bad, it's not that bad. And you're young, and hopefully the chick's hot.
Or at least okay, so you can tell your buddies.
If you bombed, you're just like, ah, who gives a shit?
So this project, this is comedy. It's about your quote-unquote failure in comedy, like, as the character. But you've had some accolades, like your first stand-up special, I think. Your album did pretty well.
Yeah, I had some success. I had some accolades. But, you know, even if you have accolades, you have a lot of failures. And, you know, it's rough.
Do you feel like that's I mean, this is a legitimate story? Like you're not achieving what you set out to do? Or is it just a simple... premise to tell a story about like chasing your dreams?
I think it's just mostly about chasing your dream and like never giving up on your dream. And when do you finally give up on your dream? And I always wanted to be a filmmaker, and this is my attempt to finally be a filmmaker. Like, I'm finally putting it out there. Like, I've done some short films and stuff that I produced for like channels and stuff, but this is my first feature. And this is my, I love the movie Spinal Tap. This is my version of Spinal Tap. It's my very small version and in my own story. And I've had some success and I've had some not success, and I'm sort of documenting it. And it's kind of like, I think it's universal. I think a lot of people like can relate to what it's like to like go after something and, you know, have it not come out the way you want it to come out, and follow your dream. And it's, you know, follow your dreams, not an easy thing. And it's kind of, that's kind of what it's about. It's about following your dream, and it's not easy.
So really, you've kind of gone full circle with, like, before people told you to do stand-up, like, you wrote, directed, and you're starring in this movie. Like, you're taking it all the way back to when you wanted to be an actor.
Yeah, it's taking it back to that. I wanted to be an actor, I wanted to be a filmmaker, and this is my taking it back to that. And I love comedy, I love stand-up, and it's me combining all those things. Stand-up.
It's beautiful, man. It's like Rudy.
Writing, directing, acting. It's just, yeah, it's me putting it all together. And, you know, and I do think that that's a universal theme. Like, a lot of people would like to be out there, you know, following their dream, no matter what the cost. And that's what it's about. Basically, it's about that. And it's not always a pretty story.
Do you have a dream, Napier?
No.
No dreams? You have no dreams? You have no aspirations, no goals?
Come on, Napier.
Come on, Napier. What do you want to be? You know what I want to be? I'll tell you what I want to be. I want to be a goddamn mailman. How cool would that be?
Well, you can do that.
Yeah, that's my dream. I think it would be really neat to drive around in that little car. And that, like, nobody bothering you. You just, like, put mail in mailboxes, right?
You just have to take that civil service test.
Right. But I don't do it. I don't do it. And that makes me an asshole.
Well, maybe this will inspire you.
You know what, Tom? You've inspired me. I'm going to be a mailman.
Take that civil service test, Mike.
Well, maybe this movie will inspire a lot of people to go out there and be mailmen.
Well, so, Tom, the movie is shot and edited, right?
It's still, we're doing some changes to it right now, but we're raising money on Indiegogo just for, like, some post-production and for, like, festival costs and stuff, so...
So is it also, too, kind of to raise awareness? I know I see a lot of the crowdfunding campaigns. It's used, yeah, as a way to, like, generate funds, but it's also used as a way to, like, generate awareness for the actual project itself.
A little bit, because we've been releasing some, like, clips of it and stuff. Great. There's a lot of great people in it. And I think it's really funny.
But it's like even your scenes that are in the trailer, like when you're talking to your agent, I like those make me laugh more than anything. Is like when he's talking, I enjoyed that very much.
Yeah, Barry Rothbard plays my manager. He's a comedian actor. He's in Wolf of Wall Street. He has like a small part in that, and he's in a new sitcom coming out on ABC. He's great. He plays my manager. He's really busy right now, but he was very nice enough to... I've known him since he started. He was nice enough to do it. He's hilarious in it.
I saw your DP and your producer on This Is Comedy. Like, they all came from comic book documentaries. How did you like, hook up with those guys?
I did a web series like 5 years ago. I was an actor in it. And I made friends with the DP and the crew, and they were really nice. And we started working together because I was doing I was doing rap songs at the time. I did a rap album, and they shot my rap videos. That's how I started. And then they started. I was hiring them to produce the videos I was doing, and then I hired them to do this. They're really good, Tom. I think we're losing you, buddy.
I think we're losing you, Tom. You get like a weird connection or something. But
can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
Yeah, absolutely. Now we can, right?
Yeah. No, nothing. I met Tom in the ESPN web series. I was an actor, and they were the crew, and I started asking them to do things for me.
So it was like, hey, could you do this? I want to do this. Would you do this? Sure.
Well, I was doing. I had a rap album, and I needed somebody to shoot rap videos, and they were like, yeah, all right, we'll shoot them. And then,
how many videos did you do for that album?
We had like 14 songs. I think we did like 7 or 8 videos, and they shot all of them. They're really nice. And you know, Comedy Central aired like 4 of them. It turned out to be great. Like Hannibal Buress was in one of the songs and in the videos, and The Funny or Die just featured one of them like a few months ago. A year ago.
So what you're saying is you're kind of a big deal.
I've done like so many fucking crazy things.
That's right. And people need to check out your Kickstarter and make you an even bigger deal.
Well, at least check out these fucking clips.
Yeah, check out the fucking clips, guys. tinyurl.com/tomcom.
Hee hee.
That was good, right?
That's
his name's Tom Drunk.
That's completely legitimate, though. Like,
that's funny.
Check out that Indiegogo campaign, because just the pitch video, like the trailer for that movie, is very funny. And then you've released like what, 4 or 5 videos also to attach to the project.
4 of them, yeah. We just released one today. Yeah, they're pretty funny. Yeah, I think they're really funny.
The thing about doing comedy in somebody's living room.
That's the one we just released today. Yeah.
Is that based on a true story?
Sort of, yeah. Not based on a true story, yeah.
It's not based on a true story?
I love that. I am going to use that line in so much shit now. It's not a thing.
I've done shows way worse than that.
Mike, you have a birthday coming up, don't you?
I don't know. Oh. Wait, for the bit? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. My birthday's any day now.
So we need to get you a comedy show. I think we have a band set up for it, and then we're now you're gonna.
Yeah, I know. That's
show.
What we're doing. This whole thing is just to book my birthday party.
Well, Happy birthday.
So, Tom, you're on Indiegogo with This Is Comedy. You're asking for, like, what, 9,000? You're already over 5. Well, you got, like, 10 days to go.
We're at about 6,000. We have about 10 days left.
So, plenty of time.
But yeah, we're, but the thing is, we can keep whatever we make, so we've already made $6,000, so, you know.
Right. We'll be good. But if you're listening to this and you can't afford to donate to the campaign, at least share it with your friends and your followers on your whatever that social media stuff is that you use, Twitter,
yeah,
Facebook.
And at least watch it. It's pretty fucking funny.
It is. It's very, very well worth it to just visit that link because the trailer is very funny.
And check
Thank
out Tom's
much.
Podcast, Last Exit to Brooklyn. Travis, you're going to be a guest on that soon, right?
Yeah, I heard that my people were reached out to and that Tom wanted me on that podcast, so I think I'm going to be on that real soon.
That's exciting. Looking forward to
it. It is exciting. So, Tom, but you can be found on Twitter, at Tom McCaffrey, right?
At Tom McCaffrey, yeah. And
your two C's, two F's, Tumblr, just about everything.
Yeah. Cool. And I'll have you on next week, probably, if you want to do it.
I'll do it.
Okay, cool. I'll hit you up.
Sounds cool. Good.
Thanks,
so
Tom.
Check out Tom's Indiegogo and his Twitter and all that.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. Have a good
thanks
one, buddy.
Much.
Ooh, baby, baby.
Guys, Drunk's here.
Hey.
Drunk filed in during the interview. That's exciting, right? Drunk, I have a question for you.
Absolutely.
The Edge of Tomorrow movie, right? You kind of know the premise, right?
Tom Cruise
keeps dying, and then he keeps trying to like get better so that they can defeat the aliens and stuff.
Turns into a fucking Groundhog
Day, like with guns.
Emily Blunt is like training him and like getting him better and stuff, and then like they keep getting further and further and further.
Uh-huh.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
How many days in a row, like, that you get Emily Blunt alone, and you know that you're just gonna die and wake up and the day starts over again?
Yeah.
How many days in do you get Emily Blunt alone before you try to rape her?
Or not even rape her, just like fuck her without her consent.
I don't know. Month, maybe?
A month?
Really?
Of times? Yeah. You're a gentleman, Drunk.
A whole month?
Yeah.
If you're Groundhog Day.
Yeah, you're Groundhog Day.
Well, I believe the first half of the movie, like, isn't he like just dying like that?
Dying and dying and dying and dying. Yeah, right away.
I mean,
but he just keeps getting further and further and further. So, I mean, like, it's a long day. It's a long day of putting on that robot suit, fighting aliens.
But what I'm getting at, like, I'm thinking that first 2 weeks, I'm not progressing very far in my day. I'm dying very quickly.
Right.
I'm not getting too much alone time with Emily Blunt.
Okay, you're in Groundhog Day. How long before you forcibly try to put it in Andy McDowell's pooper?
Probably a month.
4 days. Four days max.
You're like, I'm just going to wake up tomorrow. It's going to be a new day. What do I get?
You're going to play
shit?
Sonny and Cher?
Right. I'm tired of hearing that fucking song. Something special needs to happen.
I don't know. By the fourth day, I don't know if it's still kick in yet.
And I mean, like, no, I'm not condoning rape. Of course, rape is horrible. But it's not even like a real rape because tomorrow it didn't happen. You're going to wake up and then you didn't rape anybody. Woohoo, right?
Unless that's the day you go back.
That's true. That's true. It could always be the last day.
Yes.
And then you're in trouble.
Exactly. So you'd have to wait until you figured out what the actual deal was with what you were doing.
Right. The reason that you keep waking up and then you know that didn't happen. Well,
They say Groundhog Day, what Bill Murray experienced was the equivalent, I think, of like 170 some years or something like that.
170 years?
They did all of the math on, like, how long it would take him to learn how to ice sculpt, learn how to play the piano, learn how to do all that crazy shit that he learned how to do, and also learn how to, like, about all of the townsfolk. And they said it would take you about 170 years to learn all of the stuff.
How long before you just started trying to murder people and, like, see if you can get away with murders?
He probably did. Fourth day. You know, like, deleted scenes.
Yeah, I mean, just, like, start murdering people and then just, like, living out that scenario and seeing if like you could get away with stuff,
or you know, have like a list of all the townspeople, like a phone book.
I mean, like when he jumped off that church and like then he woke up the next morning and realized that like he could die the next day, wouldn't you just start killing people and just see how that goes, just to see how it feels? And then the next day they're alive again, no harm, no foul, right?
No, because we're not psychopaths.
I think if you were stuck in like 170 years of the same exact day with the exact same people coming up to you and saying the exact same thing, I guarantee you would lose it one day, just like Mike did at the beginning of this episode. But if he had a gun, he would just blast the person that did the thing to him over and over and over again. You know what I mean? Like, you would take down those people if it was a repeated behavior.
Those are my friends, Travis.
I overreacted,
and I apologize.
You did. I'm just saying you're a level of aggression. I say if you felt that, say in day 143.
But the next day, I would wake up and I would realize that I overreacted, and then you'd be like,
"I love those guys."
And that was really funny when they played that song about boobs for 5 minutes. While we're sitting here with our thumbs up our asses. That's hilarious. Right?
You're talking over my head, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's because you came to the show late, drunk.
I know. If this would have been an hour show...
That's a bad excuse. It's a bad excuse.
I enjoyed the song. I thought it was funny. And I like all of our friends. Because they're our
what
friends.
What I want to know from them is... If they were going to a wedding... Okay, drunk. You're going to a wedding, right?
Okay.
Your friend tells you, this is a casual wedding, right?
So...
That's the information you have.
Actual wedding or the reception?
It's a friend of yours getting married. It's the wedding. It's the whole deal.
Uh-huh.
He says, dude, drunk, this is a casual wedding.
Okay.
What do you wear to that wedding?
It's casual. It's the actual wedding or the reception?
It's the whole thing.
Both. At minimum, khakis and button-down shirt.
That's drunk. That's fucking drunk. He's a goddamn derelict.
I make Mike look like a jackass once, and I guarantee he will talk about this for the next 3 months.
I'm not saying anything about you, Napier. You're a delight. It was a lovely wedding. I had a blast. I met your dad.
How was that?
You ever met his dad before?
I've known Napier for 18 years.
What?
I've been in his house twice, Travis. The two times I've been in his house, I've seen his living room and his bedroom. I've never been in the bathroom. I've never been in the kitchen. I've never been in the basement. In 18 years, Napier lives two blocks from me. I've been to his house 1,000 times to pick him up. I've been inside twice.
You said you've known him since you were 14, right?
I've known Napier since I was 14 years old.
So you never had, hangout party? Like, you never, crashed on his floor? And hung out and played video games?
No. What? I've never played video games at Napier's house. Never happened.
That many years you've never met his dad?
So what did you do in the two
Napier's,
times you were
Napier's
at the
dad
house?
Lives in Texas, for the starters.
Oh,
that was only a few years ago.
So you
met his mom.
But yeah, no. I know his mom pretty well. We're friends on Facebook, me and Napier's mom. We're tight. But I've been in his house twice. But yeah, I met Napier's dad. At the very end, when he was leaving, Napier's mom alerted Napier to the fact that he hadn't introduced me yet. I thought that we weren't going to be introduced.
There were a lot of people there.
There was 19 people there, yeah, besides you and Amanda. And I was introduced to none of them. The only people that I talked to...
Not even a lot.
The only people that I talked to were the ones I already knew.
Well, it sounds like...
So your girlfriend,
yeah,
and
my
Napier's
girlfriend,
sister.
Napier's sister, and Napier's mom.
Well, it seemed like you and my sister were having a good time.
We were. Your sister's a delight. I'm gonna
So their whole family's a delight.
I'm going to see if Napier's sister would like to do a podcast with me.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't think she can now.
Wasn't there some secret words we weren't supposed to talk about back in the day because Napier's sister may or may not...
Oh, yeah, no, you
podcast.
Can't talk about Napier's sister's vagina at all.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's the rules.
I think that was it, though. I mean,
I think that's it, yeah.
Those were some back in the day
about her,
rules.
You could talk about her butthole if you wanted to.
I don't know if that's cool either.
Had a great idea for a porn parody that hasn't been invented yet.
What's that?
Where is my cock in Carmen Sandiego? Why have they not made a Carmen Sandiego porn parody yet?
I'm sure they have.
No, they haven't. Travis was trying to find a RoboCop porn parody the other day. Couldn't find one.
Nope, not a good one.
We found that Batman one.
I mean, that Carmen Sandiego abroad wearing the red overcoat and the big hat and shit. They could make a porno of that tomorrow. Put some bitch in a red overcoat and a red hat and put it on the internet and I'll buy it. I won't buy it. I'll steal it.
Well, I mean...
People will buy it, though. People remember Carmen Sandiego.
I agree.
You'd watch it, wouldn't you?
I would.
You're agreeing with me. That's a good idea. Want to hear my new movie pitch?
Yes.
You haven't had one in a while. You're excited, aren't you?
Yes.
Had this idea for a movie, right?
Okay.
Travis is going to love this.
Is it a porn movie with Carmen Sandiego?
Well, no, that's one.
Okay. So this is other.
And I'm rushing because, you know, we have limited time.
No need to rush.
We don't want to interrupt the show on After Us.
Oh, there is a new show?
There's no shows.
Absolutely not. You're right. We can go as long as we want. You want to know why? Because we didn't commit to a certain time slot that ended with a show after us at a certain time. We are open-ended. Wow. That's neat.
Mandy and Shannon and everybody involved in the other podcast, or they're our friends, and we love them.
No, exactly. You're right. Just saying.
The only problem that I have, if I can be completely honest, is that usually during break I can have a cigarette, take a piss, and grab another alcoholic beverage, and I did not have any time to do that.
My throat is bone dry because I have not had any kind of beverage.
Well, if you would have told me that like a few minutes ago, I had to pee, and I could have helped you.
Guys, vamp for a minute. I'm going to go get a beverage. I mean, this can happen, right? We can do this.
Yeah, but I thought you were going to pitch
me a movie.
Yeah,
you can just cut it out, right?
I'm gonna pitch you a movie, Drum, as soon as I get back with my beverage.
All right.
Because I'm stressed, and I need to relax.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll talk it out with Travis while you're
okay,
going.
Okay, you talk it out with Travis.
What's up, Travis? How you been, man?
Really good, really good. Hey, we had we had pretty good reception for our Turtles fanfic last week.
Did we?
Yeah, people seem to really enjoy it.
It's kind of funny because
despite the fact that Donatello sounded exactly like Wolverine,
I don't think that took away from it though.
I'm going to give an update on the mouse.
Everybody did very good as far as the turtles were concerned. I thought.
I know. I like Michelangelo's voice the best.
Yes, he was good. Raphael was pretty good as well.
That's tasty.
Excellent.
So how'd vamping go, guys? Did it go good?
Vamping?
You guys were vamping, right?
Riffing? Fuck does that mean?
You guys were doing some riffing, right?
I've never heard of vamping.
So I had this idea for a movie.
Okay.
Right?
Is it about a vampire?
And it's been debated on certain aspects. So, I mean, if you guys can think of ways to make this better, help me along.
Do you already have a cast?
Guy gets bummed the fuck out, right?
Okay.
Cuts off his own dick.
Jesus. Okay.
Van Gogh cut off his ear. People cut off stuff when they get bummed out. There was a guy in Wu-Tang Clan cut off his own dick not too long ago.
No, right? He was just a dude that like hung out with Wu-Tang a few times.
He wasn't in Wu-Tang?
No, he wasn't in Wu-Tang.
They sure did talk about how he was...
Was that Old Dirty Bastard?
So let me
do that posthumously?
Let me ask you a question. Is it dick and balls or just cock or...
Let's say just his dick.
Just the
cuts
dick.
Off his dick.
Ball still
intact. He's bummed out. He's thinking about killing himself. He thinks first, you know what? Fuck it. Cutting off my dick.
Okay.
You should fucking kill yourself right away when you think about that.
They try to reattach his dick. Continue. Can't reattach it. They do some kind of thing for him so that he can save his dick because he wants to save it as like a cautionary tale. Keeps his dick. Thinks about it. Doesn't have a dick. Bummed out about not having a dick. He's got terrible luck with the ladies. One day he gets really drunk and starts having this fun time with his dick, and he thinks it's really funny that you know, he gets it up and he starts doing like ventriloquist with his dick. People see it. They start laughing. He says, maybe this is a career change for me. I'm going to be a ventriloquist. I'm going to go on stage. I'm going to do comedy with my severed dick. Gives his severed dick a little face, takes it up, starts doing comedy, and it goes over really well. He becomes like a really big deal, and people love this new, fresh idea.
Like how big of a deal? Like Carrot Top big deal, or like...
We'll say, what's the ventriloquist guy? Jeff Dunham big.
Okay.
Goes on tour, sells out everywhere, right? Because he does the dick show, it's funny, right?
But he sells out everywhere like the funny bone everywhere.
Everybody... loves this guy's dick show. This guy's hilarious because, you know, he's got a lot of pain. He's like, you know, well, he cut off his own dick. He's a depressed guy.
Right.
And depressed guys make the best comedians, right?
Apparently.
So all of a sudden, he's high profile. Some good-looking broads really start kind of paying attention to him. They want to fuck him, but of course they can't because he ain't got no dick.
Uh-huh.
Like they didn't know it wasn't a bit.
Right. And I think that the end, there should be some kind of lesson learned.
Don't like, cut off your own dick.
Like, no matter how bad things get, you know, no matter how awful you think your life is, it could get better, so don't cut off your own dick.
Well, it wouldn't have got better for him if he didn't cut off his dick. So what you're saying
is... How do you know he wouldn't have just gotten better with something else? Or are you somebody else's dick?
Well, but his life got better because he cut his own penis off, not in spite of the fact.
But now he can't fuck nobody. So it's like... It's like he cut off his own dick because he was bummed out, and... And now he ain't got no dick, and ladies want to play with his dick, but they can't because he ain't got no dick. So how late a great of a
maybe,
life is that?
So but he, maybe he's okay and come to grips with the fact that the ladies can't touch his dick.
Okay, so he has a successful comedy career after he severs his penis.
Right.
And the moral of the story is it's okay to cut off your own dick.
No, can we make it so that the dick still has feeling in it? Like he feels it if somebody touches it?
Like the Wonder Twins?
Oh, like yeah. It's severed from him, but like if he rubs it on stuff, then
he well, if he still uses it as a dildo in a lady, like he's using as
does he
like
feel
a
it as though he
act.
Has a dick, or does he
yes.
like? Huh.
Unless you have another take on it.
If that's the case, you gotta have some sort of like spell power at the beginning of this.
Like, could you think about this? Like, imagine you're using your like severed dick as like, say you're holding it like
How come
a knife.
All my ideas
and you're just like,
guy talking
you're
to
like
his
shoving it into like a woman's like your assistant's mouth like super fast, but you feel it like she's giving you a blowjob. Wouldn't that be fun?
Like yeah. just to hand it to her and then like go make a sandwich and then she's sucking on it in the other room and you feel
no,
it?
Like you are jamming it in her mouth like you're stabbing her in the face, over and over and over again,
like while also laying down in a chair.
Or you could be doing whatever you wanted.
Like playing video games?
Yeah, or she could take it
in
the other room.
I guess like she could take it in the other room and diddle herself with it while you like watch TV.
Absolutely. That's even better.
You guys kind of bastardized my idea, but...
I think we improved it.
I don't think you did.
I think we added layers to it, like, you know, some humanity, I think.
Yeah. But, I mean, you did just suggest a story of, you know, you should cut off your penis... And then go into comedy and make money.
You know the band Against Me?
No.
There's a band called Against Me.
Did they? We have them on the podcast?
We did not. No, they're actually like a band that most people have heard of. Like if I say, hey, Against Me, then like they say, oh, I know who that is. I mean, you guys don't.
Like
Travis knows
like
what I'm talking about, right?
Maybe?
Yeah, I do.
Did you know the singer of Against Me cut off his wiener and is a lady now?
Nah.
Did they cut it off, or did they, like, shove it up inside of him?
I don't know. I assume they cut it off, and they made it into a vagina.
No, they don't cut those off. They like, turn him inside out.
Oh. Well, that's a real thing. He's a lady now. So when you watch Against Me, like, you think, oh, they got a chick singer now. But no, they don't. It's the same guy. It's just a lady now.
Well,
oh, like the brothers, the director brothers.
Yeah, like the Wachowskis. Yeah, but yeah. There was some really awful award show. And let me tell you, man. Oh, it was the Alternative Press Awards. Some of the modern bands that were at that were just laughably bad. One of them did a cover of Gangsta's Paradise that just makes you want to like jump off a bridge. It was that bad. Like I watching this, I'm like, oh my god. Is this what the kids are listening to now? I mean, I'm a pretty happening guy. I still listen to
Yeah, you're
to
pretty
music.
Hip. You're a lot hipper than I am.
Right, right. I know what the kids are listening to. And this is bad. Whatever that was a mistake. That was awful.
Well, Mike,
but anyway,
you're not tuned into this generation.
Against Me, cut off his wiener.
Well, I don't think they cut it off. They turn it inside
out. Now he's
out.
A lady.
They should make that against the law.
Well, he's not really a lady. He's just a dude that turned his wiener inside out.
Guys, did you want to talk more about your wedding? Did it go according to plan from your perspective?
Oh yeah, it was great.
It went well?
Yeah.
There was kind of a poopy smell near the end.
Yeah, somebody was like draining a bathroom, like the public works people, they were like draining the toilets in the back.
Yeah, it started getting kind of poopy.
Yeah, it got way worse after you left.
Oh, it did.
They turned that on full blast when like half the people like got out of the out of the thing. Like, it was like some dude
was waiting. That their way of telling you it's time to go?
Apparently. because it
this
worked.
Was at your wedding.
Yeah,
that's a complete Napier wedding right there. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
drunk. Nothing says Napier drunk. Without the poopy.
It did
smell
not
at the
disappoint
wedding.
One bit.
Yeah,
like it was a full fledged Napier affair.
Yeah,
it was great.
Napier, I believe every second of that.
Napier was gonna get there.
You
cannot
tell me a shocking story about this
wedding. And didn't
get
there till 10 o'clock.
It was supposed to be what time?
We started almost an hour late.
Yeah, they started an hour late because the aunt got lost or something.
And she tried to follow her directions, and unfortunately, they were not very clear.
Oh, my favorite part of the whole thing. A guy pulls up, right?
Yeah.
Gets out of the car, walks up to the thing, and Napier greets him by saying, "Oh, hello, who are you?" And he said, I'm the bride's dad. And he said, "Oh, I've never seen you before in my life."
I didn't know what to say. I don't know how to talk to people. I don't have any social skills. I came up to him like right in the middle of the damn thing, and I had a conversation with him, and I could not fucking end this conversation.
Napier is not very tactful.
You never met your lady's dad?
No, we had not talked beforehand.
Well, I've known Napier for 18 years, and I had never met his dad.
Oh, what'd you think?
He seemed like a pleasant fella, I guess.
People say we look alike, and I don't see it.
Not really.
No.
I mean, he's considerably thinner than you.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Do you think you're a disappointment to your father, Napier?
Oh, every day of my life. I would not have it any other way. It's great.
Do you think he'll now be a disappointment to your lady's father?
No, I think he just labels all of his, like, whiskey and scotch bottles, like, out of things that I've done. Like, this is why he's drinking it. And he just wants to remind himself before he gets blacked out drunk about why he has to constantly drink to forget.
He bought a new one on the way home called Got Married in a Dog Park.
Mm-hmm.
And it smelled like shit.
By a minister in a tuxedo t-shirt.
But
hold on, the
minister
had tuxedo t-shirt?
Tuxedo yeah. T-shirt drunk.
What? Yeah. This wedding's awesome.
I know it was.
When was this?
This was today.
You'll have to listen to the podcast drunk.
Oh my God.
It was the great. Podcast that you're on?
We had Lee's Chicken for catering. We brought out buckets of chicken and mashed potatoes and gravy. It was great.
I feel like I'm leaving out some important details.
You know what would have been awesome, and I would have felt very good about
this. Oh, you didn't
this.
Finish your camera story.
What Napier should have worn, like, a GoPro.
A GoPro?
Yeah, and just, like, videotaped the whole fucking thing from, like, his chest level. That would have been awesome.
That probably would have been awesome.
No,
why
then
didn't you do that, Napier?
You know that conversation that I had that you witnessed? I had 30 of those with every fucking person there but you. It was horrible. It was gut-wrenching. Every moment I spoke to somebody, it was like I was on fire and didn't know what to do with myself.
Oh, Travis.
Yes, sir.
After the ceremony, they're walking away, and one of the guys comes over to get me. Because I had to sign pieces of paper that I witnessed it.
Yeah, I made Mike my witness.
So, oh, you're the witness?
Yeah, so what that means is I got to, like, regularly check in on their relationship to make sure that, like, I didn't, like, sign a lemon.
Can you, like, as a witness, can you, like, abolish it if it goes wrong?
Like, if things aren't going right, I can step in?
If, like, Napier comes to you and says, "Hey, listen, I don't want to say I made a mistake, but, like, this is not what I thought it was going to be." Like, can you be, like, as a co-signer to be like, "Hey, cancel this.
I'll step in and mediate.
Yeah, cancel this loan."
I'm totally going to snag that piece of paper, copy your signature, give you a call one day and let you know what you've co-signed.
Napier, I'm sure your credit's just as good as mine, if not better, buddy. You're not getting shit from me.
I'll co-sign for you guys. I don't care.
At least you don't have to, like, watch us consummate it in order to sign it.
Did you consummate already?
Yeah.
Hey, Radio Fubar's got a live, like, Google Hangout YouTube channel now. If you guys wanted to do that online.
It'll only be the viewpoint of a tiny little camera that they use for rectal exams. I didn't want to tell you guys this, but, you know, that's how I get my lovemaking on, is by shoving rectal cameras
Anchor
into myself.
Anchor in the chat says, "So Mike was the best man." I guess I was, right?
Well, you were the best dressed.
I was the best man. They let me be the witness because I was the only one that didn't wear jeans.
You weren't the only one. There were two other people that did. None of the ladies had jeans.
You weren't the only
one. Well, no,
one.
Amanda had jeans. And actually, a few of the ladies had jeans, too.
Was there any juicy sweatpants in the audience?
There was no juicy sweatpants. No, there was no sweatpants whatsoever.
Well, see, there you go.
Right.
So, but
that's not so
was
bad.
In jeans, except for you?
No, just more than half.
What did you wear, Mike?
Wore
khakis and a button-down shirt.
I wore, you know, a button-down shirt and dress pants and a tie. And
he wanted to wear these white pants.
Well, he
told
you it was
like
casual, so
pants.
You could ditch the tie.
Well, he didn't tell me it was casual. He told everybody else because Napier hates me.
Gotcha.
I told you it was casual.
Napier wants
sure
me to look a fool drunk.
I'm sure you looked stunning.
You were gonna come to my wedding in a taco shirt.
Napier,
and that would have been perfectly fine with
would
me.
Would you say that I looked stunning? Would you say that? I looked stunning, right?
You looked fabulous.
I looked great.
And professional.
I did. I looked like $1 million.
Did you do any networking?
No, I didn't. I didn't talk to anybody. I sat in a corner by myself with my lady and ate chicken. And
you talked to my sister.
And I talked to Napier's sister, who I
and my brother-in-law. And
right.
You talked to a few people.
Nice guy, that Julian.
Mm-hmm.
A little fella.
He's not little.
He's
pretty
little.
I mean, he's not.
But he's a nice fella. You know what? I should be friends with those people. I should do a podcast with Julian.
Why would you? That doesn't seem right.
You don't want to do this one anymore?
No, I mean, I'm fine doing this one.
Oh, as you mean in addition to?
Oh, no.
Oh, so you will cancel this one?
No, I think I like this one.
Just with other people.
Maybe your sister and Julian should do the show before us.
Well, I mean, if they did that, I mean,
I don't know. I noticed that they were on time.
So they'd keep on point, right?
Right.
They'd finish when they said they were going to finish?
Right. I mean, that was, yeah.
These sound like great people. I'd like to meet them and be friends with them.
Well, nobody ever signed a piece of paper saying that they were, you know, going to go away at a certain time. I mean.
I had fun, guys. This was a blast. I mean, unless...
Oh, what happened to your camera?
We bought batteries for it, and then I saw a guy in a Revenge of the Titan t-shirt, and I said, maybe just leave the camera in the car, dear. Obviously, this wasn't designed to be documented.
Maybe this is cell phone picture.
We can take those $8 batteries back to 7-Eleven.
I don't think they're going to take them once you open them.
No, probably not.
But I mean, at least you got a whole package of batteries out of the experience.
That's true. Guys, we had fun.
We always have fun.
We do. We always have fun.
You always defecate the show, and we always have fun.
We defecate the show.
No, you defecate on the show.
We defecate out the show. It comes straight from our butts.
Exactly.
Hey, guys, before we go, I just wanted to let you know that if you've been wondering when the next Coolio album is coming out, it's coming out soon.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
And it will be released exclusively on youporn.com.
Did we get Coolio, Mike?
I sent a message out to Coolio's people. Oh, no, it's not YouPorn. It's Pornhub. I apologize.
They're all friends on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, that's all pretty much the same thing, right?
RedTube, Pornhub.
So, yeah. Coolio is releasing his album. You can download it from Pornhub.com. So, like, if you're a fan of Coolio, that's good cross-promotion, right?
Yeah.
So we need more of that. We need, like, to get more cross-promotion to our website.
Let's get with YouPorn Jude and see if, you know, we can put, like, a video clip.
Exclusive episodes?
Yeah, like a video clip or some exclusive episodes on there.
Because
and then we'll broadcast porn.
I mean, the type of people that go to Pornhub.com to get Coolio are the type of people that I mean, you want, right?
I don't think they're going to let him back onto the Food Network now.
Let me ask you a question. You like Coolio, right?
Yeah, I like his music.
You think, I want to get me some Coolio, and I know where it is. It's at Pornhub.com. You go to Pornhub.com, you download the Coolio tracks. Like, what is Pornhub.com getting from that? Chances are, you already watch porn, and you're probably not going to start watching porn if you're in the mood. Well, you probably will, right?
Well,
you
that's
go for
why
the Coolio, and then you just start
maybe
clicking
porn. Maybe
it's for
all porn. Those kids under 18 that can be on excuse.
And then you forget about Coolio, right?
Yeah, the parents or the kids say to their parents, I was only on Pornhub because I wanted the new Coolio album.
Exactly. That is exactly what it was.
No, Mom, I wasn't looking at
You know, Coolio. He was cool when you were a kid.
Yeah, and then the parents would be like, yeah, let me check this out.
I'm trying to understand how this is good for either of them. Because, I mean, if you're a fan of Coolio and you want to download Coolio songs, wouldn't Coolio benefit more from being on Coolio's website?
I guess it's no different
I mean, wouldn't you want the clicks?
I would appreciate them, but, I mean, if more people go to Pornhub than Coolio's website.
Oh, and I guarantee you they do it probably by about 150,000 times.
But yeah, the people that go to Pornhub.com and say, oh, look, there's a Coolio album on this website, aren't going to download Coolio because they're there to watch 5-minute clips and jack off.
Maybe they might listen to the song and decide, hey, I'm going to get this.
Or maybe they might be in the background of some like good pornos, like they make their pornos, and then they also happen to be playing Coolio's music in the background.
Now, or maybe they have it set up where, hey, you're going to watch this 5-minute video. While you're doing that, you can download Coolio's newest album in the background.
But then it'd get all choppy.
Not if you have a decent
bandwidth.
Well,
playing with your wiener and knocking it about the computer ain't going to do anything to your download speed.
Right.
Yeah.
So you think that if we get like exclusive episodes, like we put up like little half-hour episodes and we make them available to download on different websites, like we put up a we get an agreement with like a Beej.com. So you go to Beej.com and there on the front page it says, hey, download this half-hour episode. That would be good for us, you think, right?
Because I think so.
The type of people that show up to watch a 6-minute video and jack off, that's our target market, right?
I think so.
Did you just call our audience jack-offs?
Yep.
Well, I guess if Britney Spears can do Pepsi commercials, I guess, you know, Coolio can, you know, sell his stuff on Pornhub.
Seriously, wouldn't you think the best thing ever is if you're looking for redheaded blowjobs? Maybe they even broadcast our episode over the top of that, so you're just seeing the redhead give a blowjob to a giant dick, and you're hearing Mike say, you know, classic Mike shit.
I would like to point out that Dyslexic in the chat posted a little thing that said that, no, Coolio is not doing that, but why would he tell Rolling Stone that nearly all of the reports are not true? That word nearly doesn't mean none.
So you're saying that all that we just did wasn't real?
No,
nearly wasn't.
Nearly
really
all
real.
Of it was not true.
Good show, guys. That was great.
It was a glorious mess from start to finish. And after this, I think I'm going to go home and rub one out to the new Coolio video, because apparently that's what you're supposed to do.
Travis, you think our guest's going to be bummed out that we put him on the spot and forced him onto his podcast?
I don't think so.
He'll probably just never talk to us again.
I think he's going to email you in about 2 hours and ask, you know, for my contact information. So, I mean, he took us into a strange direction. Right off the bat, I was looking to promote him right away, and he just wanted to bullshit, you know? So I think good stuff.
Travis is going to go out and be the diplomat of the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. Is that exciting?
I actually will probably plug my new thing that I have coming up instead, so.
Well, see you in hell, faggots.
I want you to know it's over.
Well. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this installment of the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. We are live every Monday night at 9, 8 central on Radio FUBAR. You can download past episodes on Stitcher, iTunes, or our website, wfodicks.podbean.com. If there's any kinds of thumbs or stars that you can click for us, we do appreciate it. It does help with the visibility of the show. You can follow us on Twitter at WFODix. You can follow Drunk at DrunkardSTL. You can follow Travis at ProduceTravis. You can also follow some of our favorite Napier quotes at Napierisms. We're on Facebook as well, facebook.com/WFODix. You can email us at wfodshow@gmail.com or leave a voicemail message at 314-266-WFOD. Radio FUBAR is on 24 hours a day with great content. RadioFUBAR.com. Check out some of the other shows. Let them know that we sent you. There are shirts available in their shop. You can also click the Amazon link that will take you to Amazon.com where you can do your shopping as normal. It does help the station. They do get a kickback. It costs you no extra to do so. Thanks again. We'll talk to you next week and tell a friend.
Will I live to see time for the white face of God?
I don't know!
Something wrong! Our way! So fucking wrong! So fucking wrong! Why are
you? You can't say any more stylized living in against us ever dies.
Stay one!
You can't say any more stylized living in against us ever dies.
I can't hear you!